Good evening, church. We also want to welcome online viewers. And we pray that the Lord will bless everyone in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for yet again another Tuesday to study your word and to share your word. We pray you speak to us in Jesus' name. Lord, your words will meet with faith in us and do us good in Jesus' name. At the end of the service today, we'll have every reason to say thank you, Father, because Christ died and resurrected so as to pay remissions for our sins and to save us unto you. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening, church. Yeah, this evening, I'm going to be sharing what I titled The Master's Duty. The month has been tagged Success Through Apprenticeship. So there is no apprentice when there is no master. So that means it's two to work. So if you have apprentice, then you must also have the master. So what does it mean to be a master? And you agree with me that if you are not a good follower, you cannot be a good leader. And also, if you are not a good leader, you cannot be a good follower, because everything is in levels. You are leading some people and you are also following some people. So that means someone who is an apprentice also has a bit of some leadership responsibility in some areas. And for some Tuesdays now, we've been considering what are the duties of the apprentice. How should the apprentice behave? What is expected of the apprentice? So this evening, I'll be speaking on what I titled, What is the Master's Duty Towards the Apprentice? How can the relationship better work effectively together? Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll read in verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. I read from the King James Version. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians then. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. So as a leader in your respective location, as a leader in the house, as a leader in your office, as a husband, whatever you are, what foundation are you laying? Do you have people working under you? Do you have people learning under you? What foundation are you laying? I used to work for a boss sometimes ago, very long ago. His own style of leadership is divide and rule. So he tries to set confusion amongst the team so that he can gain loyalty of everybody. So he wants you to come to him and say, sir, this is what Mr. B is doing. He wants B to come to him and say, this is what Mr. A is doing. That's one leadership style. Paul is saying here, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So that means, irrespective of what the foundation is, when you are laying your own blocks, you'll be accountable for the things you are laying on that foundation. So irrespective of who the leader is, when you are studying under the person, then you must also give account of your stewardship as you study. Like I said, the entire month has been about success through apprenticeship. And a lot of emphasis has been made on the role and expectation of or from the apprentice. However, can we also consider what are the roles of the master? There can't be an apprentice without the master. Hence, for the cycle or success of apprenticeship scheme, there must be a willing master. So are you a willing master? Some people go to learn and the master will just acquire the knowledge. He doesn't want to part with the knowledge. These are some leaders. So you see people spending 4 years. There was a time I was asking, at some point my wife told me that she wants to go and learn fashion designing, tailoring and all those things. I said, I hope you won't go to all those designers that they will say you must spend 6 years before you even learn how to ride the machine. He said, no, it is modernized now. I said, okay, but these are some people. The first thing they will do is go and buy me food. Go and do this. And while you are doing that, maybe you are learning a trade. They will never take you to the source of the market. Go and do this, go and do that. Who are you as a leader? We had some examples. Elisha carried
on after Elijah. Why do you think that Elisha could carry on? Because Elijah showed him the path. Elijah asked him and said, what exactly do you want? And he said, this is what I want. And he gave him instruction to say, if you can see me when I'm going, then you will have what you wanted. So he showed him. He told him what to do about it. But guess what? After Elijah went and Elisha took over to carry on the mantle, who carried on after Elisha? Nobody. Because Elisha cursed Gehazi. Elisha did not have compassion on his own apprentice. And that was how the anointing died with Elisha. Can you imagine that? Imagine if Jesus Christ had not shown the disciples. He even said, greater things than I do, you will do, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So little wonder that after the ascension of Jesus Christ, the disciples wrought a lot of wonders and miracles in the land, because he parted unto them the power. He laid the foundation and he encouraged them and teach them to also build on the foundation that he has laid. And by that, he imparted in them knowledge and power, and they were able to do exploits. So let's consider what are the master's duties. I'm going to be talking about 4 points this evening, and very briefly. Point number one, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is Jesus Christ. So my point number one here is, show the way. As a leader, as a master, are you showing the way to your followers? Are you telling them the right thing? This is Jesus Christ, the master of all, saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So don't even bother seeking any other option. Don't even bother going any other place to say, we are looking for the truth. But wherever you are, when people are confused, when things are in confusion, total darkness, are you showing the way? Are you a light in the tunnel? Are you a light in the darkness? Do you remove the worm in your own eye before blaming another person to say, this thing that you are doing is not right? Are you leading in the right way? And now I want to give you a contemporary example. Look at the man called Nelson Mandela, of blessed memory. This man spent 27 years in prison, fighting for the freedom of his people in South Africa. And when he was eventually released, he was allowed to become the president. He contested. And this man ruled just for one thing and handed over. And he preached peace to say, let us forget about the apartheid. Let's come together and build this nation. That is somebody, Nelson Mandela, showing the way. Show the way to the apprentice. Don't be the recipient of the knowledge alone. Don't be the only one that is taking, you are taking, you are taking, you are taking. Because at some point, even the followers will no longer trust the master to say, anyway, without the master, we cannot do anything. And now that the master is not with us, what are we going to do? So are you like that? I remember that Reverend was saying that your presence at any place, at any time, determine how the place will function during your absence. So it means that when you are available as the master, what are you showing your apprentice? What are you showing the people who are following you? What example are you laying down for them? This is somebody that will say, Nelson Mandela could have come out and carry on the bitterness or the issue that they dealt with him, the white side of South Africa, how they dealt with him in the prison, how they imprisoned him. He could have come out and said, let us even divide this country. This country is for we, the blacks. It's not for you, the white. But he came out. He brought everybody together and preached the gospel of peace to say we can dwell together in peace and in harmony. So you need to check yourself. Before you point an accusing finger at somebody who is following, before you point an accusing finger at another person, how well are you leading? Are you showing the way while you are leading? My point number two is what I call pray and guide your apprentice. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18 from verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Next verse, please. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. If you read on and on from this account from verse 16 to 33, this is an account where God saw that the iniquities of Sodom and Gomorrah was too much and he wanted to destroy it. Now, before this time, you remember that Abraham had a brother called Lot. Lot came up one day. Lot is an apprentice to Abraham. He was learning under him, also tending to the flocks. But one day he grew so big and he felt, I can go on my own. I can be on my own. So Abraham said, okay, choose where you want so that it won't look like I'm the one that said you should go this side. And then you say, ah, he cheated me because he knew that this side is not fertile. So Lot chose where he wanted to go. And after so many years, the iniquity of Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot pitched his tent, became so worse that God wanted to destroy the city. And God said, I can't do this grave thing without telling my friend Abraham. So he told Abraham. And then Abraham started to pray for Lot. He began the negotiation from, if you find 50 people righteous in this land, will you still destroy? God said, no, if I find 50. But he couldn't find 50. Abraham said again, if you find 40, will you still destroy? God said, no. Until he negotiated to 10, and they could not find 10 righteous people in the land. But Abraham kept praying. And I'm sure because of the prayer of Abraham and supplicating for his brother Lot, he did not remember what Lot did to him so many years ago. If he were to be today's leader, they would say, yes, God catch him. But I told him then he wanted to separate from me by force, by fire. Now he has gone. And that's his own Lot. If they destroy him, that's his own Lot. But Abraham prayed for Lot. And he negotiated. So God sent angels to Lot and told him, get out of the land because the Lord is going to destroy it. And the Lord eventually destroyed that land. The wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. I'm sure that is not strange to us because we read it in the Bible. So I'm telling you today that as the master, one of your duties as a leader is to pray and guide your apprentice. Let us open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26 from verse 69. We'll read 69 to 75. Matthew chapter 26. This is Bible study, so we need to read a bit, some bit of the Bible. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. Before this verse, remember that Jesus told Peter that you would deny me. Peter said, no, it is not possible. Me, the centurion, the warlord, the king of the disciples, I cannot deny you. But guess what? Because Jesus saw the end from the beginning, he prayed for him. He knew that something is coming on Peter that will be beyond his faith. And he prayed ahead for him. Guess what? Go to verse 75. Verse 75 is, along the line, Matthew 26, 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crowed, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. If not that Jesus had prayed for him, maybe that would have been the end of Peter's ministry. Because Jesus saw that ahead of time and he prayed for him. So as the leader, as the master, do you pray for people under you? Do you pray for your apprentice? Do you pray for the nation where you are today? As we have today in Nigeria, only God knows the number of people that prays for this country. If all we ever say about this country are bad things, that this country is not good, this country is jaga-jaga, this will happen, that will happen, then what do we actually expect to happen to the country if we don't pray for our country? Jesus saw that this thing will happen to Peter, but he prayed for him. There's a version of the Bible that I really like very much. It says that I will not allow you to be tempted beyond what your faith can carry. It's a promise I always hold on to when I'm in trouble most times. I will say, for this to have come, that means God knows that I can survive this and I can contain it. So I always hold on to that verse. And this is what Jesus exemplified in his own ministry. For the 33 years he spent on earth, he knows the people that he is working with. He built his disciples up to a point that they can stand even if he's not available. And he knows the future, he knows the end from the beginning. So he prayed for them. Now this is a challenge on us also. As we are, as a member of this country, as a member of this church, as a leader in your respective homes, in your house, in your family, do you pray for your children? Or you just wish that they turn out to be good children in the future? We just heard of one story that is trending. A 10-year-old girl from Chrisland School. Look at all the atrocities this lady was committing in Dubai because they went for a world game. She was not forced into it. You could tell that this is an habit she has built or caught up with even while the parents were not suspecting. And it also tells you that the parents were not watching the kids. This is exactly what is going on around in our world today. So what exactly are we doing as leaders in our respective location? Because everybody is a leader, whether you like it or not. As you are serving as an apprenticeship under some people, you are also leading some people. So what exactly do we do? Do we monitor our people that are closely working with us? Do we monitor the people that we supervise? Do we monitor our colleagues even in the household of God? Do we watch over them and pray for them? Because if you don't pray, there is limit to what human capacity or intelligence can actually do. It is prayer that helps us in most of the things that we neglect to take care of. Imagine if the parents of these kids were praying for their children. I don't believe that God will allow such a thing to happen in the life of that girl. A 10-year-old girl going through that horror. What do you think this girl will grow up to become in life? That girl will live a wasted life. I pray that God will redeem her in Jesus' name. So these are some of the issues that come out when a leader refuses to pray and guide the apprentice. Don't think it's all about you. There's at times you also have your own problem. You also have your own issues that you are dealing with. But then you can leave those aside and pray for the constituents that you are governing. And pray for the people that are so close to you that you watch over. And you know what? By the time you pray for people, you are supplicating for others, you are interceding for people, God will also watch your back. God cannot just leave you alone because he has seen that you are watering his garden and God himself will water your own garden. I pray that we shall learn from some of these things and God will give us the grace to do so in Jesus' name. Point number three. This point, I consider it very germane. And this is the point I said, delegate to gain trust. Some of the leaders these days don't know how to delegate. And when you don't delegate, you cannot gain the trust of the followers. And that is exactly what is happening today in our world. Let's say maybe during independence of Nigeria, when we got independence, maybe you have the best set of leaders at independence. But after that independence, see all the type of leaders that has been coming up till this day. One leader I just saw last week, one man went to nail himself to the cross. He said, if I can put myself on the cross, I can also come and redeem Nigeria. Very ridiculous. Is that a leader? These are leaders that will come to the polling unit and be sharing 1,000 to 2,000, giving people gari, giving people rice, as if that is what will solve their problem for 4 years. These are the kind of generation leaders that we've built over time. So if true leaders refuses to delegate to their subordinates, those subordinates will not learn and they will not gain their trust. They can learn through their mistakes. When people commit errors, then you bring them up again and train them and say, you shouldn't have done this. Imagine when Gehazi went after Naaman to say, my Lord said I should collect this gift. And God has shown it to Elisha to say, this is what Gehazi have done. If Elisha had called Gehazi and said, Gehazi, why would you do such a thing? And pray for him and correct him in love. I'm sure on his dying bed, Gehazi would have picked up after him and become a prophet to also carry out his mission. Because remember, it was Elijah that anointed Gehazi and said Elisha should pick Gehazi to work with him. But Elisha, out of anger, pronounced negative pronouncement on Gehazi. And the guy lost the cause and he was leprous for the rest of his life. In fact, he even extended it to all his generation. What a very strong negative implication on the man. So this is what has happened unto him. Moses delegated to Joshua. When God spoke to him, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 31, in verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, let me tell you something here. Why didn't God call Joshua? Why did God told Moses to say, call Joshua? So that means he gave Moses the free will to either obey or ignore. But Moses obeyed and called Joshua. He didn't say, I must be the one to accomplish this mission. God, just hold on. When I accomplish this mission, then you can call Joshua to use Joshua. Maybe he would have died. And then he wouldn't have been able to pass the knowledge onto Joshua. But when God told him to say, call Joshua, come into the tabernacle, let me give him a charge, God was sending a message, because human beings, God has created us to be free moral agents. We can decide to do, what is right or what is wrong. So God was testing Moses at this point to say, call Joshua, let me also give him a charge, because we are growing old and you are getting weak. We should learn to delegate. At this point, Moses knew that his strength is waning, and he was ready to delegate unto Joshua to say, this is how I've been doing it. Remember when they went to the battle and the hand of Moses was weakened? It was this Joshua that was holding his hand to raise up so that the children of Israel can continue to win. So why won't you delegate when you have found someone that you feel that has the capacity and has the temperament to be a leader after you? Learn to delegate. Now let's look at the reverse in the life of Eli and Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you read verses 1 to 21, you will see here that Eli was not like Moses. And when God was speaking, God spoke to Samuel. He did not speak to Eli. He called him once, and then Samuel said, yes, my Lord. He went to Eli. And then when he got to Eli, Eli said, I wasn't the one calling you. He went back to bed. God called him again. He went back to Eli. Then the third time, Eli now told him, he perceived that it is God that is talking to Samuel. He said, when he calls you again, just say, here I am, my Lord. And God will give him. So God gave Samuel the revelation. He gave him the word. He gave him the charge. Up to the point that it was now Eli that is now asking Samuel to say, what did God say? Can you imagine? When you don't learn to delegate, God will choose the next generation of leaders. And it will be to your own shame, because you will not have the joy of passing the book, the knowledge of what you have learned, down to the next generation, so that they can also become equipped, they can also become empowered, and they can also become bold to do great and mighty things. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, told the disciples and said, there was a time they were trying to cast out some spirit from somebody, and he said, these things does not go by prayer alone, but by prayer and fasting. He was teaching them. He was telling them, giving them, delegating to them to say, and he told them that these things that I do, greater things you would also do. So how well are you imparting the knowledge? Or you just want to gather the knowledge, and then take it to heaven when you are going. There's no reward for that in heaven. You just go into your mansion. The people always say that the best of talent are in the graveyard. Because of what? They refuse to pass the knowledge. Imagine when Chief Obafemi Awolowo was taking the money of cocoa and was building cocoa houses. He was building NTA. He was building roads. He was building all those things. How did he do it? Did he pass the knowledge to the next generation of leaders? Or what he taught them was bad politics. Politics of burning down people's houses in the days of NPN. When they would go to their opposition's house, they would throw fire inside, destroy the city, destroy everywhere. How well are you delegating? What are you teaching the next generation of leaders? How are you helping them to come up in the way of the Lord? If we don't have succession planning in the church today, look at the drama that the children delivered on Sunday. I'm sure we'll all gain and learn from it. Somebody was passing that knowledge into them. When those children grow up, I'm sure tearing the Bible into pieces, telling people from Revelation to Genesis won't be a problem for them, because they've already acted it out. They already know it. And we can only pray that they will continue in that state. So I pray that today God will give us the grace, the power to delegate as much as possible and in the right way, so that people can also learn. It is good to delegate. As a leader, it frees you from unnecessary entanglement. It helps you to also build other people. It helps you to also gain the trust of other people. When you delegate, the people will know that, yes, my leader trusts me. Even if you commit error, don't correct in bitterness. Correct in love. Don't call somebody and say, you didn't do that thing very well. This is the way. No. That's not the way to correct. I remember when they posted me to Ibadan, and they gave me a profile of the staff I'll be working with. They said, this person is bad, that one is bad. So when you just get there, go and choose your own team. That's the task we are giving to you. So I sat down. I said, if they are that bad, and you said I should go and choose my own team, why didn't you sack them before I get there? Why should I get there and be the one to go and sack them? I said, well, I've taken on board what you have told me. But when I got there, I said, guys, let's sit down together. The position of this place has been bad. It's already labeled F rating for everybody. And we need to turn this tide around. I'm not here to sack anybody. because I also report to some people. So we started, and like play, within 6 months, people that they said were bad were able to double the balance sheet. So then I was thinking within me, what if I come here and I started writing memo to say this one is bad? So I will spend 6 months fixing human beings rather than fixing the problem. That is the problem of not delegating. So what I found out was that the previous leader was not imparting knowledge into them. He wasn't telling them anything. So when issues come, they don't even know how to resolve issues. So I started training. Just every morning, 7:30, we do training. Every evening, we do pep talk. We started building ourselves. And then as I entrusted them, I said, when people say, who are you? Tell them you are the branch manager. It doesn't matter. Don't let them see you are the branch manager. Just handle. So they started gaining confidence. They were able to go out and then talk to people, win businesses and break businesses. That is what delegation does. It makes you have time for other things. I said, I don't want people coming, customers complaining to me. Handle those customers yourself as if you are the branch manager. And things started moving. So I'm telling you today, whether you run a business, empower your staff. They can run that business. You are just lucky. You are just graced to be the leader in that place. They can also do likewise like you. So don't look down on people. Give them power. Give them knowledge that will make them function. And I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Point number 4. I said train and empower your apprentice. Don't just use them. Elisha just used Gehazi. He didn't train him. He didn't empower him. And that's why he died in that mysterious way. And that is why the anointing also died with Elisha. He didn't pass the baton on to another person. That is what happened between the two of them. But Elijah passed the baton on to Elisha. So why would that happen to Elisha when he died? Jesus empowered the disciples. Imagine if at the Garden of Gethsemane, when he brought them and said, pray and watch for me. Then he brought Peter, John, and the third one to another place and said, stay here, pray and watch. He came back, he saw them sleeping. He came again, he saw them sleeping. What did he do? He didn't pronounce negative words on them. He encouraged them. He prayed for them. If he had pronounced something negative on them, all the miracles they wrought, all the souls that Peter converted in one sermon, almost about 5,000 people were converted, would he have been able to do that? No, he wouldn't have been able to do that. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 14. But continue thou in these things, which thou art learned and hast assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 16. And all scriptures is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is Paul to Timothy. I'm sure Timothy was a disciple of Paul. Paul trained him very well. He equipped him. No wonder Timothy was able to wrought so many wonders in the kingdom of heaven. I'm praying and I'm asking today that God will give us the grace to also train people who are associated with us, to also empower people who are related to us, people that we work with. Mrs. Babajide gave a testimony on Sunday. Maybe she doesn't know it was a testimony. She was pushing a subordinate to say, go and register for this thing. Go and register for that thing. Go and register for this. And the person went, was encouraged, and brought the certificate to her and said, take your certificate. This is what you pushed me to go and do. Now, take it. But when the day of reckoning came, it wasn't Mrs. Babajide that they gave the extra salary to. It was that person that they gave the extra salary to. So God just used her as an angel. And that is how we should be in every area where we find ourselves. That is what we should do in every environment where we find ourselves. So today I'm saying that the master's duty is to show the way. Lead by example. Lead like Jesus Christ gave example of his life to the disciples. Pray and guide your apprentice. Don't use negative words on people. People will offend you. People will cross your path. People will come along your way and say bad things towards you. But guess what? Pray for them. The Bible even says that, pray for your enemies. We are not a church that says, fall down and die to our enemy. We are not a church that prays for our enemy to die. When they die, by the time you start riding your limousine or Rolls Royce, who will see it and cheer you up? Nobody now, because they are all dead. So pray for them to live. so that they can see the days that the Lord God Almighty will bless you. Delegate so that you can gain the trust of the people who are following you, so that you can gain the trust of the people that you are training. Now train and empower these people. Somebody has trained us. Somebody has trained me. Somebody has trained you. They've empowered you. So why do you want to be the recipient only? Why don't you want to pass the knowledge to others? You are versed in the scripture. When issues happen, you know the scripture to open. You know how to talk about it. Are you training your kids about that? Because there will be a time that they will be alone. It will just be them and the world. When issues of life come, when issues of life arises, how will they respond? Will they quickly open their scriptures and pray? Or will they start to look for help from the other places? So I pray today that the Lord will enlighten us and will let this word mix with faith in us and do us good in Jesus' name. Thank you very much.